I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout here on 1250 AM. The Fantasy Broadcast live from the Wendy's Studios. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. That's right. After each and every Milwaukee Bucks victory, get yourself a free Frosty Chocolate or Vanilla at participating Wisconsin Wendy's. Bucks now tied at one in their series with the Miami Heat as they get ready to play Game 3 coming up on Saturday night. And now we are joined by Eric Name of The Athletic, who, of course, covers the Milwaukee Bucks. And we'll get into the game, but I want to start off first about your piece with Jimmy Haslam and Wesley Edens in The Athletic that you did, a chance to sit down and talk to both of those guys. I guess your initial reaction and sense of Jimmy Haslam, since you've actually been able to talk to him, unlike the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at kind of everything that he's doing, I think there's a lot of concern from Bucks fans. Obviously, I think you and I have talked about it, and you have some concern about, you know, someone new coming into an ownership group. And to me, it seems like Jimmy Haslam is aware of that, of maybe what his reputation might be and what people think. And I think to mitigate some of that, you've seen some of the things that he's done, right? Like, rather than make it a big scene coming in, you know, his first media availability is, you know, quietly in a room, not on cameras, with, you know, the local media members and the ones that are writing about it. And, you know, rather than a big press conference and, you know, trying to make it about him, you know, you look at the governorship and how that's going to work over the next 5 years, and the fact that, you know, he gave the first 5 years to Wes Edens. And I shouldn't say gave, but, you know, that's what they ultimately decided on, that Wes Edens is going to take the first 5 years on the governor's seat. And both sides, you know, downplayed the idea that that really means anything. You know, it's a partnership and all that. But, you know, I think we've seen over the years that, you know, the person that is sitting in the governor's chair does tend to have the power.
Exactly.
Again, I think overall, to me, it seems as though Jimmy Haslam is quite aware of what people might think of him. And I do think there's a lot of it that's like, hey, I want to come in here and not screw this thing up. Let's see if we can win a championship this year. And then, you know, to me, the biggest question I asked was, you know, this team is going to be in the luxury tax. If you want it to be good, you know, it's a reality for this team. And the repeater tax is coming around this summer. And I'm very curious, you know, how you feel about it. And really, Jimmy Haslam looked at me straight in the eyes and just said, we're committed to winning. And we talked about that early on. And that was, to me, that suggests like, hey, I'm ready to sign the checks and get this thing done. But again, those things don't happen until they happen, right? Throughout all of this, you know, I've asked a luxury tax question to owners every media day since the Bucks have been in an area where, you know, the luxury tax is going to be around. And the answer is always, yes, we are committed to being a luxury tax for a team that we believe can win a championship. And, you know, you can say those things. And the first time around with Malcolm Brogdon, that didn't happen. They made a move that skirted it. And I think you can argue that ultimately that might have been the right decision. Some people might say that was the wrong decision. You can argue both sides of it, but they decided to avoid it. So since then. They've been in the luxury tax. That isn't something that they've avoided, but, you know, words only mean so much. It'll be your actions. And I think we'll get the answers to those questions. Obviously, I asked them and I got them in word form, but at the end of the day, the action is really what speaks.
I have so many questions about this. So my next thing is, you're around this team. You talk to all these guys. You have you're in the middle of it far more than I am. I had heard rumblings that part of what was going on with Mark Lazary was he didn't want to go into this repeater tax and have to pay all this money and so forth. And that might have been his sign to kind of get out of this while he could and make a bunch of money on the way out, obviously. Do you have any ideas of why he decided to get out?
I mean, I don't think anyone wants to be in the repeater tax.
Right.
Like, let's just start there.
Yep.
No one wants to be there. It's a really crummy place to be. And the new CBA only makes it harder for teams and more prohibitive to do these types of things and go into those areas. So that's where I would start. But then I think the other thing that people have to realize is that, you know, as you go into the repeater tax and that bill gets larger, no matter how much money you're making on the back end, and to be clear, owners are always going to make a whole lot of money on the back end. Once they sell the team, they're going to buy it at a lower price, and then they're going to sell it at a much higher price. You don't get that money during that time. While you own the team, you're not getting that money. You have to, out of your own checkbook, write a check and hand it over to the league. And I think what we're seeing around the league is that, you know, there are wealthy people, super wealthy people, and stupid wealthy people. And when you go through all those levels, you can see these people. And, you know, it does to me, it's going to be difficult to, you know, just have $100 million liquid around that you can just write a check and say, all right, here's $100 million. And I think that's what you're seeing around the league is that, you know, there is a difference on all of these levels and the ease with which you can write one of those checks. And I just think, the reason why you see someone like Jimmy Haslam come in here over Mark Lazary and buying out Mark Lazary's spot is he's simply more wealthy. And writing a check like that is not going to hurt him in the same way as that it might hurt someone like Mark Lazary or really any number of owners around the league. So to me, that's the big thing is going to be seeing people around the league figure out, one, is this the model? Right? Like, I think when they put in the luxury tax rules, they didn't think people would actually pay it. I think around the league, it was like, who on earth would pay all of this money with no guarantee of a winner? And Steve Ballmer raised his hands like, me, I will. Thank you. And, you know, Joe Lacob, same thing.
Yeah, with the Warriors.
Yep. And you go to the Nets and Joe Tsai. Yep. All these people signed up for it. And I don't think initially the league thought that was going to happen. And that's why you're seeing the next level of the CBA try to make it harder for those teams that do want to pay to keep their teams together and then not get a mid-level exception and then not get a first-round pick. The goal is to, I think in some ways, curb people from doing that. But if wealthier and wealthier people own these teams, there's going to be people that just say, I don't care, and I will keep paying it. And that, to me, I think is where the interesting part of all this is going from a league perspective. And I think you're kind of seeing that in Milwaukee with, you know, bringing in an even wealthier person in Jimmy Haslam instead of Mark Lazary.
Alex Lazary also leaving the organization. You put on social media the other day. What was his role within the organization? And are they obviously going to have to go outside to fill it, or will they just move on without that position?
Yeah, I mean, so to me, I think Alex had a more prominent role in some of the basketball things that the team was doing before his Senate campaign. But after he started his Senate campaign, he was not in any role with the organization. He was, you know, fully committed to kind of doing all the things with the campaign. And I think the organization as a whole has adjusted for that, right? Like the idea that, you know, he isn't going to be able to help out with any of those things or do any of the things that he had a role in. So to me, I don't think they are going to be thinking like, hey, we need to fill this role. Cause I do think, you know, the organization has kind of moved past that already. And then when he came back from the signing campaign, I never got the sense that he had kind of, you know, come back to fulfill that same role that he had previously.
I want to go back to that article in The Athletic, a great one. If you haven't checked it out, if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you should, because there's a lot of good writers. Eric Name was the reason I bought in to The Athletic, and I'll be honest, the other person I read a ton of, like every day, is Jesse Temple with Badger Football. He does an amazing job as well at The Athletic. But I want to talk about this governorship thing that we talked about earlier, because I'll be honest, I got confused reading the answer. So I read it as the NBA kind of said, no, you have to have the split governorship. That's kind of what the agreement was when you all bought the team between Edens and Lazary, so you're going to have the split governorship between Haslam and Edens now going forward. But then at the same point, I'm thinking to myself, if that's true, I don't know how they can justify that one way or the other. So I guess I'm confused as to as far as how he ends up in this governorship role.
I'm going to need you to rephrase that question, because I don't totally understand.
When I read the answer as far as how he got into the governorship role, buying into this, and I should just bring it up on my phone and read the answer, but it made it sound kind of like, you know, they talked with the league, and the league kind of made it sound like, well, this was kind of the agreement when this thing came in. So if you're replacing Mark, then you're also taking over the governorship role, because that was part of the agreement when the Bucks were bought by this former group. Or am I reading it wrong? And Edens was the one that made the call to have him as the governor.
No, I think essentially what you're looking at is, you know, they were trying to figure out who might buy a share from Mark Lazary, right? Like, Mark Lazary was the one selling his share. No one else involved in any of this was selling their share. Mark Lazary is selling his share. So once that was, you know, a decision that they made, you know, I think they tried to figure out who it might be that would buy that. I think initially, from all indications, Matt Ishbia, who ended up buying the Suns, was someone that was considered for that. That didn't end up working out. And then Jimmy Haslam is, you know, as he kind of talked about, him and Wes got to know each other a little bit when Jimmy Haslam tried to buy into the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they got to know each other a little bit there, and then Jimmy wanted to come in with that. And then from there, I think the way I understand it is that because Mark was selling his share and only his share, the league was just like, okay, well, if that's the case, then we're going to keep these things in place, because that is the structure that was agreed upon when you guys did this in 2015. So this is what it's going to be. And I don't think there was really, you know, I mean, maybe there were some negotiations about, you know, who goes first, or, you know, what term ends. And obviously they cut what was Lazary's term a year and a half short, and then West started a new cycle with 5 years. But I think overall the league kind of wanted to make sure that they kept the structure in place, because, you know, that was the structure that they had in place to make sure that, you know, this team had enough funding and all those things.
Was there ever any talk about, you know, Jamie Dimon or Edens or anybody within that group buying Lazary out, or the group buying Lazary out and keeping it just to the core group of owners they had already and not letting an outsider in?
That is a question for Wes Edens.
So that hasn't come up yet. We haven't had that conversation. All right. I'm just curious. People asked me that, and I didn't know the answer to that, and I didn't see the answer to that in that article, so I didn't know if you had asked him that in the past or not, so I figured I'd follow up. One last thing for you. Obviously, we should talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, but I really wanted to talk about that article. That's the main reason I got you on. The series tied at 1. I said before game 2, I thought this team could beat the Heat without Giannis, and didn't think it was a big issue that he wasn't going to play in game 2. I then went on to say in the Green and Growing podcast after the game, Nathan Marzion, that I wouldn't play him on Saturday either, even though he'd probably want to fight me to get on the court to play. I want him 100% for the rest of the playoffs, and I don't think they really need him at this point on Saturday. I'd rather just hold on to him until Monday and then play him in the second game in Miami. Your thoughts on this Bucks team without Giannis and the need to have Giannis in this series?
I mean, I think it really depends kind of what Bucks team comes out. I just thought and Javon Carter put it nicely. I mean, it wasn't very nice. It was a pretty blunt assessment. But, you know, he said, like, we got to play like it's a playoff game. And I just don't think they did that in game 1. I just thought it was, you know, a situation where, you know, they've been the one seed before, and they've played the Detroit Pistons in the Orlando Magic. And you know what you can do against those two teams? You can roll the ball out, and you'll be fine. Sure, it might be close for a little bit, but ultimately you'll be fine. And one thing you can't do against the Miami Heat is just roll the ball out. Like, those dudes compete. Eric Spoelstra is a lunatic. He's going to make sure his team plays hard. Jimmy Butler is the same. Bannon Adebayo is the same. Like, that team is going to play really hard. And if you're not willing to match that level, they can embarrass you. And in game two, the Bucks matched their level, and everything was totally fine. So to me, I think, you know, there's a little bit of, to me, the thought of, okay, now that you won one game, does it go back to game three and you're like, you know, we'll be fine? Or does that intensity stay? Because if that intensity stays, I agree with you. I do think they could beat this team without Giannis, and they could get through this series without him. But bringing that kind of level and that kind of intensity on a night-to-night basis, I think, is a little bit more difficult. That's not to say that they can't do it. I think everyone on that team is always motivated in those games to, one, win it for Giannis because they do love him, but then also, two, to prove to the world, like, hey, we're actually really good at basketball. All of us are really good. Like, we know Giannis is the MVP, and he's fantastic, but also all of us are really talented basketball players. And I think that's why so often in these last couple of years in the playoffs, when he's gone down, you've seen them really step up and have some big games. So we will see going forward. But yeah, I mean, this is a series before it that I said it was going to be Bucks in five. And I think I would stay with that prediction. Like, I do think they can win these next three games and take care of business.
I have one last one for you. Any idea why Connaughton didn't play in game one?
He was out of the rotation.
It was that simple. So Matthews gets hurt, and that's how he gets back in and then shows up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty clear after the Sixers and Celtics games late in the season that, you know, they had made their choice, and the only way that you could really manage a rotation of 9.5 was someone on the wing had to be cut out, and they ultimately decided that that was Pat Connaughton, and they were going to go with Wesley Matthews, they were going to go with Jay Crowder, Grayson Allen, obviously, in the starting lineup, and then, you know, you're looking at Middleton or Javon Carter, but whatever. Connaughton was going to be on the outside looking in, and that was the decision that they made. And, you know, I've talked to some people, you know, before the series. I've done radio interviews and all those things, and, you know, one of the things I said was, it's going to be really interesting to see how Mike Budenholzer manages all of this. Like, that in itself is going to be fascinating. But I think one thing people forget is that the decision was made for him in 2021. P.J. Tucker was not a major part of the rotation before Dante DiVincenzo got hurt. Dante DiVincenzo got hurt, and then he became that guy. And again, I'm not saying he was out of the rotation, but it was a smaller role. And then the decision got made from Mike Budenholzer because Dante got hurt and P.J. Tucker took on a larger role. And I don't know how long Wesley Matthews is going to be out. A lot of the times when he's had these calf strains, it's been a couple of weeks. And that just might be the opportunity that Pat Connaughton needed to solidify himself back in the rotation. And then, you know, when these things come, when Wesley Matthews comes back around, if they keep winning, maybe he's the one on the outside looking in. So I think it'll be really interesting to see. But no, Pat was out of the rotation because they had decided to go in a different direction, and now Pat Connaughton is back in.
No, I'm totally fine with both of those answers. Follow Eric Name on Twitter at Eric_Name. If you haven't bought his book, 100 Things Bucks, you should. Probably people aren't talking about it as much as they could, but you always go to Amazon and get that 100 Things Bucks book by Eric Name of The Athletic. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.